Hello everyone and welcome to the Private Visitor Centre podcast with me, Gary Jones. Now, this very, very special podcast is going to be celebrating the reopening of a Private Visitor Centre in Coventry. Now, it's located literally in the heart of the city centre and it's going to be a great destination for events, loads of local history, guided tours, the Undercrofts and so much more. Now in this podcast, we're going to be talking to the organisers, we're going to be talking to the people who visited the centre on the opening day, we're going to be hearing a little bit about the tour that goes on in the Undercrofts, and we're going to be catching up with so many more really cool people, including Lady Godiva herself. So let's get cracking with a great podcast, hope you enjoy it. So after being closed for quite a while, the Priory Visitor Centre reopened on Saturday the 27th of May 2017 after the guys and girls in the organising team worked really hard to get to this point. Now we're going to be hearing from them later on in the podcast, but I just recorded a snippet of the speeches that occurred just after they cut the ribbon. So let's hear some of the really inspirational people talk about what the Priory Visitor Centre means.
I formally welcome you on behalf of Coventry Priory, a brand new social enterprise supported by Coventry University Social Enterprise. The university have been instrumental in helping us get this off the ground. So huge thank you to the university partnership working. I think most people are in now. It does look lovely full, doesn't it? It really does, and it's a great event space as well. So it is my great, as long as Atanas isn't falling over. I do a bit of health and safety there. He's a university student, so he's been doing all our videography and it'll be available on a website as well. So, and he's also available for hire at a really good rate. As you can tell, I'm the enterprise manager for Coventry University Social Enterprise, and we're always looking for business. So without any further ado, I would like to invite Councillor Blundell, the Deputy Lord Mayor, to say a few words.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Carol, and it's great to see so many people on a weekend with the sun shining and, can I say, political and sporting events happening elsewhere, which might be a distraction for some people, but you're all here today to celebrate the opening of a priory. It's a centre that opens windows on our city's past and is set to delight and fascinate us all. The Priory, as Carol has said, is now run as a social enterprise thanks to inspiring communities who stepped forward when it sadly closed last year due to spending cuts. And Carol Donnelly and her team, and I know many of you are here, have created something very special. The Priory is part of our city's history, tracing its roots back to the early days of Leofric and Lady Godiva. It helped our cities prosper in those early times before it fell victim to the dissolution during the reign of King Henry VIII. And I've done a little bit of research on this, although sometimes historical facts might not be always correct, but understand that the Cathedral of St Mary's was actually destroyed, and it was the only cathedral destroyed during the dissolution of the monasteries. And somewhere, I sort of have to rely upon things like Wikipedia, it said that it was offered to the people of Coventry, but they couldn't raise enough funding to save it. So I don't know if that's got any similarities with today, but I'll move on. As you probably know, 450 years later, our city welcomed Television Time Team, who carried out some archaeological digs, and their work led to the Priory Garden and Visitor Centre. And now, thanks to inspiring communities, the people of Coventry and visitors, very important visitors, will once again be able to get up close to some of our amazing heritage and imagine the Coventry of yesteryear. I know, and I seriously do mean this, I know it's taken a lot of hard work and has involved volunteers and organisations ranging from Coventry University to the Cathedral, the Multi-Faith Forum and Culture Coventry. But I'm sure that you will all agree it has been very well worth it. And not only will the Priory bring our history to life, it will act as a centre for community, promote health and well-being, and play a role in education and promote the arts. It will be a fantastic addition to our city's culture. And it will undoubtedly support our bid to be the UK City of Culture, which I know that you're all very supportive of. And later on this year, we will hope we will find out whether we've been successful or not. And it's so important to Coventry. I really do genuinely believe that it will make a real difference to Coventry. Anybody who visits the Priory will get a glimpse of our city's proud heritage and hopefully be inspired to learn about one of the country's great historical cities. We are the city of three spires, we've been home to three cathedrals, and we have the story of Lady Godiva. We have the birthplace of a motor car, the phoenix city that rose from the ashes of war to spread a message of peace and friendship. And just a short walk from this priory, you can see our breathtaking cathedral and ruins, the historic St Mary's Guildhall, amazing museums and galleries, outstanding theatre and so much more. It's places such as the Priory and the hard work of all the people behind them that make us believe we will have an amazing fitting UK City of Culture in 2021. Thank you very much to everybody involved in ensuring the Priory lives on in Coventry. Almost 1,000 years after its story began, through the generosity of the Earl of Lerfitt and Lady Godiva, I'm sure they would approve of the idea of a social enterprise, taking it into the future and making sure that it is to be used and enjoyed for all. It gives me great pleasure to have opened the Priory, cut the ribbon, and have declared it officially open. And seriously, may it continue, and I'm sure that it will be, continue to be a part of our city's life for a long time yet to come. Thank you very much indeed.
Cutting of the ribbon opener of the centre, as Lady Godiva was the co-partner with Lerfitt, I think it's wonderful that a woman takes the lead to open the centre. Because I know it takes a lot of energy. You know, people don't always see the energy behind all of these things. It actually takes it out of you so much. But what a great thing. I mean, tomorrow she'll probably feel, oh, I don't want to do that again. But then the next day she'll be ready for another massive project. Because really, that's what being an enterprising woman is all about. It's obviously picking up the threads and going. And saying picking up the threads, I can't help but promote the tapestry of our city. A tapestry that was made with many communities. And some people are here today. Sheila, in the front, would you like to wave, Sheila? Sheila made a beautiful part of the tapestry that you won't see today. So the thing is, the tapestry is so long, if we put it in here now, it would stretch from me right up to the door. We've got a little snippet of you to see, where you can see six panels of it. Where you've got the Cofers tree, which a lot of people think is the beginning of Coventry, the river, which we know is the beginning of Coventry, and the branches, which stretch through the whole tapestry. So it says we're all linked. So whatever our heritage is, we are linked back. So sometimes we have to go back to go forward. So it's back to the future. So when you come to see the little bit, that's the beginning of the story. Come back in a few months and see another part. And then another part, and another part. So it'll keep you going for at least a year. So lots of things to come back, but that's just the tapestry. Without all the different events that are going to go on, and workshops, and wonderful people. I met Alan today, who I haven't met before, and I think he's the centre manager. And I know he's going to be wonderful. Where are you, Alan? He's at the back. If you don't know who he is, have a look, because I'm sure he's going to be wonderful. So there's so many great people. I mean, I know so many of you here today, friends and colleagues. Caroline, I know she does so much work in the TIC, and I'm sure she'll be a great supporter for this. And Ram and Eleanor from Multi-Faith and Mary. There's too many to mention. Barbara, who's Barbara and I, would you like to come forward? Barbara and I actually trained as Green Badge Guides for the city. How long ago was that? 1994, so you see, she's another great person for our city. Barbara Marie. I only know her as Barbara. Sometimes when we know people as pet names, we only know one bit of the name. And then I've got my Godiva sisters, the ones that have been able to come. So I've got Margaret, she's from the Chinese community, and Bosie, who's representing our Muslim sister. I've got Anne, where's Anne? Anne is our wisdom sister, and Anne is 91.
Wow.
Is that right, Anne? Let's give a round of applause to Anne. Being
Having our wisdom sister is so important to our group of Godiva sisters. We have over 20 sisters. And each one represents their community or faith or culture. And Anne represents all the elderly people in our city. And some of the elderly people are not as sprightly as Anne. Anne is sprightly in mind and spirit and does so many things. And she's also a multi-faith minister, interfaith minister. And she's able to walk and talk, but there are so many, as we know, that have been affected by many different things. And some people are trapped inside and can't even speak anymore. And it's very, very difficult. But I think the wisdom in them is so important. So Anne represents all people that are at a time when they can't maybe walk or talk, but they all inside. And I think this is what this centre's got. It's got hope for us all. But we might be ancient. The building could be from ancient times. But however ancient anything is, it's still got a future. If we love it, protect it, have passion, and want to take it forward, we can do anything. And I think Carolyn has proved that. She really has. Yeah. That we can do anything. And when we do it together, we're stronger. I know that I'm passionate about Godiva, and this year is my 35th year as Godiva. And this year, thank you, and this year is going to be the 950th anniversary of Godiva's death. So on the 10th of September, a quick plug, yeah. Right, to be enterprising, yeah. On the 10th of September, we're going to have a really wonderful celebration in the city with schools and communities and faiths, and hopefully we're going to bring in the primary gardens and the centre. So keep that in the diary. I know it's Heritage Weekend, there'll be loads going on, but keep the Sunday afternoon ready for something really special, because the spirit of Godiva lives. Thank you.
Just before I introduce Jim Cunningham, just a quick plug. What we need to do here is to be a sustainable business. We do not get any funding from the local authority. You know, we are a business, so we need to be sustainable. So we are launching the Friends of Coventry Priory. So we're asking for, it's £1 a week, or whatever you can afford to do, it's less than a cup of coffee, or instead of going to those national coffee shops and everything else, when you're here in the city centre, we're open, come and buy a coffee from us. But we're going to be launching that. We would love to capture all of your details, contact details, name, address, telephone number. We promise we will not give it to anybody else, but we need that so we can get our database out. But if you sign up, the first 100 people to sign up for the Friends of Coventry Priory will be invited to a VIP event here with food and music supplied by other social entrepreneurs. So it's an incentive to get in the beginning. The first person that signed up is going to be doing the guided tours this afternoon. He's a blue badge guide, Roger Bailey. Absolutely font of all knowledge and commentary, and he donated the fee today, so he's doubled everything for us. So he signed up first. And I'm looking if we can get people to sign up today, and then we'll send out all the details. But without your support, we will struggle to stay afloat. Obviously, we're running events, and the beauty of this building, which Culture Coventry did not have, is that we were enabled to work in partnership with the Multi-Faith Centre, or Multi-Faith Forum, let me get it right, Coventry Multi-Faith Forum, to work in partnership with them. So we've got the space upstairs that we can have a very flexible event and conference facility that can enable us to keep the museum free for everybody to enter. We do charge for the guided tours of the Undercrofts, mainly because we have to staff that, and we've got an insurance cost on top of that, so that's why there is a charge for that. But the museum, when it's open Thursday, Friday and Saturday to the general public to start with, because we need to generate money, and we're looking for volunteers. So if you've got a passion for just sitting down and talking to people, helping us with the shop, there will be a lot more goods to buy in the shop soon. But if you've got a passion to do that, talk to any one of the team here today. We'll be filling out questionnaires as well, and we need that support. We need you here. And before I hand over to Jim, you don't mind saying a few words, do you? I'm just going to say thank you so much for having the belief and the passion in Coventry Priory Visitors Centre, and I would love to welcome you back on a daily basis.
Anyway, thanks very much for the invitation to come along here today. I can remember when I was leader of Coventry City Council looking out the window towards where Brown's restaurant is, or was, and behind it the land was a bit derelict. And I thought, maybe we'll put a car park on there. Anyway, yeah. The upshot was that the city archaeologist came to me and said, would you let us do some excavations? And I thought, yeah, why not? Because I always had a big interest in Coventry, some people know. And of course we discovered a medieval well, and that's the reason today why it's grassed over, because contrary to popular belief, I do take a big interest in archaeology actually. That's one of the reasons why we did Coombe, because that's got 800 or 900 years of history there, and I thought at the time that we had to do something about it. There was a lot of criticism at that time. But we eventually got four drawings from France, in actual fact, to restore it to its original form, as it were. The only thing we weren't able to do was the monk cells, which are actually underneath Coombe. And we'd love to have done that. So from that perspective, I've always had quite an interest in the history of Coventry. Another important venture that I, to a certain extent, and a lot of others have been involved in, of course, is the Charter House. I got a minister up about 18 months ago to try and get some funding for that, and I think we actually did get some money for it. So you see, I'm not here as a politician today, I'm here as somebody that actually takes quite an interest in the history of Coventry. And once again, can I also say that we also were criticised at one time for having the tapestry treated, because the tapestry in St Mary's Hall needed treatment. If we hadn't done something about it, I think it cost about 60,000 at the time, it would have disintegrated quite finely. So from that perspective, certainly myself and a number of other people and colleagues, of course, from both political parties, I've taken quite an interest in Coventry's history. Now that might sound a bit strange coming from a Scotsman. We spent half our time about 1,000 years trying to conquer it. That's why the Romans built here, means a lot of stuff is coming down. Thanks very much for the invitation today. And I appreciate the fact that I've been invited along here. It's a beautiful tribute to everybody that actually put the effort in to do this. So once again, thanks very much.
We're pleased to know that concludes the speeches. Please circulate round. There is coffee and tea available. We are asking for donations. Have a look at the shop, fill in the questionnaires, and if you want to book on a tour, we've got tours going at 1:30, 2:15 and 3 p.m. today. Come and sign in here, and there is a charge, and we'll tell you all about that. But otherwise, please spread the word. If you're on Facebook, we're at Coventry Priory. We're at Coventry Priory on Twitter. The website will be up and running very, very soon. So just keep supporting us, keep sharing the love like the BBC have been doing lately. They have been an absolute godsend. And the final thanks I want to give is not just to the volunteers that we've had here today, but to Patricia Heatherton, who has been my rock as one of the former directors of Coventry Priory. She's been very, very supportive of it. To the team, especially Alan and Natasha and Mariana, who have been so supportive. But finally, to each and every one of you and the City Council and everyone that's enabled us to make this happen. We have to prove that social enterprise, there is an alternative way to run businesses and services that involves the community, and that's what we're about. This is a community museum run by the community for the community. And without you as the community, we won't survive. So please support us, and thank you very, very much.
After all the speeches, we caught up with Jim to see what the Priory Visitor Centre means to him. I'm joined by a very special guest, so would you mind just introducing yourself and tell us a little bit about what the Priory Centre actually means to you?
Well, I'm Jim Cunningham, and the Priory to me, because I've always had an interest in archaeology stroke history, and one of the things that struck me when I first came to Coventry, we really didn't have a central lending library, and I found that amazing, given where I come from in Scotland, because we always had a library, we've got the library. And that really awakened my interest in the history of Coventry in lots of ways, because I started to inquire about the history of Coventry and I discovered that it's rich in history. You know, we had Coombe, Charter House, as I've already mentioned, Coombe, and then we had the old St Mary's Cathedral. So all these things kindled my interest, as it were. And so as a consequence of that, myself and my colleagues decided to develop Coombe, as you all know, because it goes right here at 900
years. The Charterhouse was quite amazing when I actually went over there, because when they took the artificial ceiling down, they had a painting, for want of a better term, on the wall, about 30 foot high, of Christ on the cross.
Oh, wow.
So I got one of the government ministers come up about, I don't know, 18 months, maybe 2 years ago, and as a consequence of that, they were able to get some money. They didn't get enough, but they got some money. I didn't achieve that on my own. There were other people doing that. So, by and large, there's quite a history in Coventry, and I never understood why we get visitors would come to the cathedral and then go to Stratford.
Yeah.
So, from that perspective, I think it's in the best interest of not only Coventry, but nationally, given Coventry's history, it's got played quite a bit in national history as well.
Yeah, and actually, it's all in the centre of the city as well.
Well, and this centre, being not far from the ruins of the old cathedral,
it's
utterly amazing. Mm. And so, it's an amazing city in a lot more ways than one.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for your time. You take care. At the launch also, we had loads of different things going on. Not only did we have tours done by Roger, but we also had photographers, we had artists, we had musicians, and we had so much energy in the room. It was absolutely amazing. Let's catch up with Andy, who's a local photographer, who's going to talk to us a little bit about the history about Coventry and how it's changed over the years. We've got a selection of different activities and things to see at the centre at the moment, and one thing at the reopening that I love is seeing art, and we have Andy here who's exhibiting different pieces of art. Thank you very much for coming down today.
Hello to you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your art.
Well, my name's Andy McGeeken, not the squealing baby.
Yeah.
My name's Andy McGeeken, and I'm a photographer and I'm a local history buff.
Okay.
So I've managed to mix the two. So, and I'm working towards a project where the book at the moment, the working title is still called Coventry My City, where there'll be photography and history.
Brilliant.
Very often we get books on photos with not much background, or we get books on all the background with not many photos. So I think I'm the first person to have done a full-colour history book covering all of Coventry.
Nice.
All periods. So it's not just about the cathedral and the immediate medieval period, post-war, even older, and high-tech 21st century stuff.
Brilliant. Have you always been into history? You say you're a bit of a buff?
Yes. I think it's one of those things. As a kid, I grew up watching World at War with my dad, and all our Yesterdays is a programme that people of my generation will remember. And I didn't quite understand it too much when I was young. But, so history has been more, more important to me than I ever realised.
Yeah.
And I read widely as well. So I tend to skit about on all periods of history, from Ice Age to the Stuarts and everything before and after.
Wow.
The Suez Crisis recently, things like that. So I tend to skit all over.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. And I noticed you got different postcards.
Yes, I've made... what I've done is I've made some postcards, 11 images, old and new, or old and new of the city. They're not old photographs. I don't have old photographs.
No.
Lots of people contact me on Facebook saying, "Hey, Andy, have you got a picture of Willenhall in 1964? No, I was only three. Why would I have a camera in 1964 or whatever it was? So, all the photos are taken by me on digital cameras.
Lovely.
Of buildings that are literally here or only just gone. So, for instance, Spire House has only been demolished October, November. I managed to get some pictures of Spire House before that went. So the old post office building that went, the 1976 building. In fact, our biggest crisis at the moment is losing 1970s buildings.
Ah.
It's terrible at the moment. Of about 22 or 23 buildings, we've lost 8 or 9.
Oh, wow.
So within the city centre. So proportionately, the biggest carnage taking place is of 70s buildings. They have the lowest sympathy value.
Ah, okay.
But as with all buildings, they have to reach about 40 or 50 before people start going, "Oh, do you know what? That's quite interesting." So at the moment, there's interest in the 1950s with the Evening Telegraph restoration going on. There's going to become a hotel. Alan Denyer's stuff there. Of course, with Ian Harrow been taking the hotel on. The 50s are starting to be rehabilitated.
Yeah.
60s is almost 77 made it yet. So it's what survives the 70s or what survives the 21st century will hopefully be preserved. So that's something to keep an eye out for.
I like that. So if people wanted to see more examples of your photography, more examples about different products that you've got, so the large pictures, postcards, whatever it will be, how could they?
T-shirts with images of Coventry on.
Exactly. How would they find it? Have you got a website?
I've got a website, CoventryMyCity.com. So that's nice. Coventry My City, I believe that's one word, CoventryMyCity.com. You can also search Coventry My City on Facebook. There is a Facebook page with regular updates.
Brilliant.
And you'll probably find your way back to me somehow.
Grand. Cheers, Andy, for your time. Take care.
Thank you.
A launch in Coventry wouldn't be a launch in Coventry without Lady Godiva making an appearance. So we caught up with her to see what the Primary Visitor Centre means to her and also what she's doing to help the community at the moment. I'm with Lady Godiva. How are you? You all right?
Yes, thank you. I'm very well. I'm so happy today and delighted to have been asked to be at the opening and to help cut the ribbon.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's just wonderful that the centre is open. Mm. No building like this should ever be closed.
No.
So, joy. Let's not think about anything negative. Let's think of positive.
No.
Godiva herself, as we know, was around in the 11th century.
Yeah.
And this... it's not just about Godiva, it's even predates Godiva, I think, and it's the fact that Godiva thought it was so important. I don't know whether you know what happened before Godiva on this very site. But on this very site in the 7th century, which is 300 years before Godiva, a very holy woman came and she set up a place with other women. So they were holy women and they set up a little place together.
Yeah.
And they reckon that could be that how the name of Cofer's Tree changed to Conventry, because they were a group of ladies that were holy nuns.
Okay.
And they were all happy and everything was good. Mm. And peace came upon the land. So the Forest of Arden was really set in the beautiful trees and prayer and lovely good things happened and people were kind to each other because there'd been lots of fighting and horrible things. But then unfortunately something dreadful happened in the year 1016 when all those nuns were murdered. So not obviously the ones that had come 300 years before, because nobody lives that long.
No, no.
Even if you live to 100 or whatever now. So these were nuns that had continued in their role and vocation as nuns and kept coming to Coventry. And unfortunately they were all murdered. Raped and the convent burnt to the ground. So it's really sad. So blood and ashes were actually here. And this was actually in the time of Godiva. She was alive. She was already Godiva.
Yeah.
And she, because she was a very, very powerful woman, she was the richest, I don't know whether you know, but she was the richest woman in England when she died. And that is true.
Wow.
People just have to look at the Doomsday Book and they'll find out. And what she did, she was a great woman of faith. Because lots of people just think, oh, she took the tax away. Well, yes, she cared about the poor. She cared about lots of things.
Yeah.
Her faith was massive. And what she did, she was benefactor with her husband of many religious foundations, which you'll find in other parts of the country, not just Coventry. But Coventry became her favourite because of what had happened to the women. She built on the very spot where the convent stood. So that's why it's really so important. Mm. And then her church was built here and finished and consecrated in 1043. It became the cathedral in 1102, so that was after her death, it became the cathedral, part of the three spires of Coventry. In fact, this had three spires of its own, so it's just a wonderful place. So for me, walking in the footsteps of Godiva all these centuries later and really hoping that the work I do is continuing the work of Lady Godiva. What's that for me? Oh, that is so beautiful. You are a very special little girl. Thank you so very much. Oh, I'm lucky, aren't I? If you want to come, we've got some stories. If you want to come next Saturday, would you like some stories and musicians and playing things? Next
She's
Saturday,
got a party,
Mommy?
Unfortunately.
Oh, but if you've got time next Saturday afternoon, come and see me at the Albany Theatre. Or if we're not there that time when you can't come, I'll ask if I can come here and do some stories. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah? That is so kind and beautiful. Thank you. What is your name? What's her name?
Sarah.
Sarah. Tell Sarah I'll put it in the water at home and remember her when it's in the water. Thanks, Sarah. Sorry about that.
That's fine, oh bless.
Sorry. So, yes, my role as Godiva, hopefully, takes Godiva forward now 1,000 years, which to me is really a big, it's a big honour and a passion. And I suppose my work as Godiva, I was never given a handbook.
No.
It was never something that anyone had done before. I did ride, which had happened from the 17th century, where they chose a boy to be Godiva. So I'm not a boy, I am actually a woman. And I rode as Lady Godiva. In fact, this year, 35 years ago, so it's my 35th anniversary. And I work with schools, I work with universities, I work in different countries.
Brilliant.
Been to Germany many times because of our twin cities with Russia and Brussels, Belgium, all sorts of places, Ireland, I can't remember, but many places as Godiva. So it is a great honour, and to me it's that we can all be Godiva, whether it's brothers or sisters. To me, what Godiva is giving of yourself to give to others to make a difference for the future. So when my mother died, and bless her soul, she was the most beautiful woman ever, I think, for me. And she always was proud of me as Godiva, and I always used to say to my mother, don't tell anybody I'm Lady Godiva, and she used to always want to. And mother's legacy, my own mother's legacy to me, was that we formed a trust, and we now have the Godiva Trust. That encompasses all this work that we do, and because we don't get paid, it's all voluntary, so it's never been paid role, been paid, although the honour was bestowed on me by the city, it wasn't a paid role. And maybe that's why it survived. I don't know. I think it survives because hopefully what you do is in the spirit of Godiva. Not for you, it's for everybody else. And but it's got stronger by not maybe making it into a formal thing. I don't know. But it's definitely got stronger.
Your passion and, really shines through.
Well, we have,
so that probably is what's driving it a lot more.
And we have 20 Godiva sisters now, which represents all faiths, all cultures. So we have African, we have refugee asylum seeker, we have Chinese, Japanese, Malaysian, Serbian, the elder sister, which is taking in all the people that maybe can't be with us sometimes, but you know, we do have a representative of all the older people. We have Muslim, Hindu, Sikh, Christian, because we think all of these are so important. And if we work together, we don't just title them as that sister. They are their names. They're Anne, they're Margaret, they're Jaspreet.
They're actual people that you can meet
people,
and talk.
Real people who do great things in our community in Coventry, but they represent the world because that's where they come from. They come from, we have Polish sister, we have, you know, Caribbean, everybody. They couldn't all come today. They all wanted to come, but unfortunately we have Serbian and Slavica. She works at the Motor Museum and the Herbert, so doesn't get the Saturday off.
No.
So we do meet once a year where everybody makes the big effort, but we do have meetings obviously weekly and monthly.
Yeah.
But then you only get the ones that can come. But what they do, and we keep obviously informed about everything we do.
Yeah.
But the great thing is, because instead of people just inviting me to something, I feel I invite them all. So that instead of me going to, say, an Eid party or a Vaisakhi or, I don't know, whatever anybody else invites me to, it's not just for me, it's for everyone. And that way we show we're a family. And I think this is what this private centre is about. Mm. It's the family of people who are passionate, who want it to go forward, as I do. I mean, it would be terrible. But you see, bricks and water aren't special. But it's the community spirit that will drive it. Because, you know, we look at the old material of the priory, and some of it is ancient, some goes back 1,000 years, some goes to the 17th or 18th century, some goes to the 21st century. But it's the people. Because without the people, it would only be a ruin. Or it would only be, you know, what am I coming to look at? But it's more than that. Each brick, if you just think about it, each footprint that has been before us, and that is the amazing thing, isn't it?
It tells a story, doesn't it?
It tells a story.
Yeah.
So the tapestry that I worked on last year with many communities and children of schools, which is really good. We've got the river running through the whole tapestry, which connects us, I think, spiritually, because we think of water. I think you think spiritual because you can put your hand through it. You can, you know, because if you don't have water, you don't have life.
Nope.
And then we've got the tree, which starts it off, and the branches that run through it. They take us, and we're sort of grafted to each other. We might not realise it, but we all are. We're all grafted. I mean, our fingerprint, our print of life, imprints on somebody else, whether we believe it or not. Whether we Google, WhatsApp, whatever, whether we read a book, we're in there somewhere, aren't we? Our DNA If it wasn't that way, we wouldn't be human, would we?
No, we wouldn't. And that is a great way
and
to
I think,
finish
you know,
the interview.
Carol has done something amazing. She is a woman, so she's a Godiva sister too.
Yeah, no, she's
her passion
inspiration.
To take it. So, but it's everybody. Mm. That's how I think. You know, we can't do it on our own.
No,
we all need a leader. It's just true, because if you look at any situation, if there isn't a leader, it's like sheep. If there isn't a shepherd, they scatter.
Yeah,
it's true. Or the dog that rounds them up. So we all need leaders, and I think we all have to be positive that we can keep this special, and that, you know, that this passion will just flourish and increase.
Yeah.
As a garden always does. A garden grows and it flourishes. But
it will.
Often needs a little looking after. So Carol's become the caretaker for it for however
and
long it's going to be.
She's doing an absolute grand
she
job.
She is doing a great
absolute
job. And it's wonderful.
Job.
And, you know, everybody involved.
Yeah, there's
the people
massive
you don't
energy
see.
In there as well.
Yeah, today's been wonderful. So maybe we'll make something, I'll speak to Carol, and maybe we'll make a Godiva place where people come to meet Godiva here. You know, when they come into
the spirit
city.
Of the centre.
Yeah, where they come into the city, we can make an afternoon tea with Godiva or something.
Why not?
Why not? We'll do
Love
something,
that.
I'm sure, and we can do
Love
stories
that.
For kids. And, you know, it's always fun.
It definitely, definitely
it's
works.
It's all fun.
Definitely works. Well, thank you very much
God
for your time
you.
And take care.
Thank you.
If you've got an event and you want me to come along to make one of these podcasts, all you need to do is let me know. Connect with me. My name's Gary Jones on LinkedIn or Facebook, or just search Leamington Hour and find my details. I'm more than happy to come to your event, make an asset just like this one for you, and therefore you can use it time and time again. So if you do want me at your event to live tweet or to do videos or photos or make a podcast, let me know. The centre is in really good hands going forward. Carol has got a absolutely fantastic centre manager in place in the form of Alan, and we caught up with Alan to see what it means to him and to find out how the last couple of months has been organising and getting the Primary Visitor Centre open again. I am with the energetic, infectious Alan.
Wow, thanks.
You
I like the intro.
It's great. Who is, are you classed as the manager here? General
centre
manager, centre manager?
Yeah, centre manager.
Brilliant. What a hard slog it must have been to get here. Coventry adventure, you said.
Hard slog is a strange terminology to use. I would say it's been a Coventry adventure.
Yeah.
And I would say that because I'm a Coventry kid. Mm. My history dates back in the city to 1497 over at Anstey.
Yeah.
And I didn't know about the Coventry Priory Visitor Centre. And that's a crime.
Wow.
I'd never been in the Undercrofts or into the visitor centre. And I got made redundant back in December of last year. And that beautiful social media, as we're using today, introduced me to something that I could be passionate about again.
Nice.
And the way it's done it is just literally by having a coffee with the fabulous Carol.
Yep.
And her saying, how'd you fancy trying to get this open with me and getting on the journey? And that started around the end of February.
Okay.
And over the last 10 weeks in particular, the energy and the momentum to getting it to this point has just gradually built and built until we've seen two magnificent events this week.
Mm.
The doors open and the public walking back in.
Yeah.
And it's a moment of great pride for me as a Coventry kid. I think the main thing for me was to see the expressions on people's faces that I got when I went into that Undercross for the first time.
Yeah.
I get excited about showing anyone through the door. 24 monks is what it was built for by the Earl of Leofric and Lady Godiva back in 1043. It's seen the dissolution of monasteries, it's been taken down, it's been rebuilt, and it kind of mirrors Coventry on the whole. The Phoenix from the Ashes thing just keeps on coming up.
Yeah.
It keeps reinventing itself. So that's what we're doing now. We're reinventing the Priory Visitor Centre.
So what is the Priory Visitor Centre in this incarnation?
In this incarnation, it's a public space and a social space that will give people the opportunity to have a look at probably a little bit of the history of the city, in so much as if I'm a student visiting with my family and part of the university, then I get to see that this is a 1,000-year-old historical city.
Yeah.
And then the other part of that would be to be able to say, this is the best space in Coventry to rent. Mm-hmm. We have a private garden.
Yep.
We have space. I've got two people that have just turned up, you know, and just seeing their faces makes me want to take them to the Undercrofts.
Yeah.
Because that's what this city does. I can feel it inside me saying, please come and have a look.
Yeah.
So, we'll let it out as corporate. We'll let it out as private. With an end game of being that this won't get closed again, and everyone will get the opportunity to see those Undercrofts and Coventry's history.
So when can they actually visit the Undercroft and to centre?
Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays are the days it's going to be open.
Okay.
We will have guided tours, you know, particularly on a Saturday, and we will see the space evolve over the next 12 months and shape and move with the direction of travel to make sure that it's a success.
Lovely. And what kind of opening times are you looking at on the Thursday, Friday and Saturday?
11:03 is our key, you know, maybe till 4 on some days. We will fit to our audience. What we've got to do first is to gauge where the interest levels actually are.
True.
If the biggest audiences want to get in here at 9 o'clock in the morning, then we'll open. Mm-hmm. But as I say, for private functions, we'll have the doors open as and when people want.
Lovely. So if someone wanted to check out the space for a private function or come down.
Yeah, hit me on my email, hit me on Coventry Priory's email, you know, Carol's email address through the Coventry University Social Enterprise, and we'll open the doors, we'll give you a guided tour, tell you what's on offer, and shape to your events.
Brilliant. Well, do you know what? You're a busy man. Thank you very much for your time. And
been
I appreciate that. Cheers.
Been a pleasure.
The great thing about podcasts is you never know who you're going to meet and talk to. And I caught up with just two visitors. There was loads of people there, but I caught up with these particular two people at the launch event just to find out what their best bits were and what the Priory Centre means to them. I am with some lovely visitors here today. So can you let us know, is this your first time here?
Yeah.
To the Priory Visitor Centre?
This is my first time.
And what's your views on it? What do you think of it?
First of all, I like the location.
Yeah.
The structure itself, as well as... when you enter, what you see, at least it tells you about Coventry, the history behind it. It gives you more, how do you call it? It makes you crave for to learn more about Coventry here, because of the artifacts here and stuff here.
Yeah, there's loads of artifacts to have a look at, isn't there? It's really cool. It is. And you've got a lovely garden out there if you want to walk around it. Yeah. Have you been upstairs?
I'll be there, yeah.
No, cool, that's fine, it is. I know there's guided tours happening later on.
Yeah.
Is that something you're going to be doing, do you think? Or are you going to be mainly looking at this section here?
Why not? I'll just go and look around, so maybe I might learn something new that I never know of Coventry, so definitely.
Lovely. Thank you very much for
your time. Okay, bye.
Cheers. I'm with someone who's really passionate about Coventry. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, fairly fair.
Yeah. Compared to what else we were saying, that's probably fair.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the Priory Visitor Centre from your point of view. When did you first know about it and how have you found it?
About the reopening or about just generally the whole thing? Well, I didn't live in Coventry. I only came back to Coventry about 5 years ago. So all this happened while I was away.
Oh, okay.
So, and it probably did take me a few years to actually discover it. Same with a lot of people that don't discover things straight away. So it's only in the last couple of years that I've really started to get more interested in places like this and what's going on and what's on offer in the city centre because of the Facebook group, and try to sort of show people that there are lots of things going on and there are lots of places to visit. And
yeah, I think it's a little bit of a hidden gem.
It is. Well, to say, the lady that I'm with today, she didn't know about it until I brought her up here about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But she'd never been to the Swanswell, no, to Lady Herbert's Gardens. So from there we walked up and she just didn't know any of this area even existed. So she's here today for her first visit as well.
Cool. And in terms of the actual centre itself and the reopening, they've done a grand job.
It is. It's lovely. It's really nice. I say, I don't know what it was like before, so I can't draw a comparison. But
no.
It's nice. It's sort of very open plan, easy access.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good disability access by the looks of it all around. So.
Yeah, no, they've done a grand job.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It looks good.
So in terms of your Facebook group, tell us a little bit about it.
It's called True Coventarians with an extra A. We've got about 17,000 members now. I've seen lots of Fat Friar Tuck, he's a member. Andy McGeachin's a member. I think Prue is actually a member as well. Marie Allen, one of the ambassadors, is a member. And I think the other guy I've seen is Roger Bayliss, is it?
Yeah.
Who is also a member. Yep. So they're all members and all do their bit to promote things on the group. So.
And is it all about promoting different
bits about
Coventry?
No, it's everything about Coventry. It's got members from all around the world. So it's people getting back in touch with each other. I mean, I'm going to Telegraph next, but then we're going up to meet up with a lady that we helped get reunited with, the mother that brought her up. So that's, you know, who's visiting Coventry this weekend.
Yeah.
So it does all sorts of things, really.
Oh, brilliant. That's cool.
Yeah.
And you can find it on Facebook quite happily.
Yeah, you can. Cool. Any new members, welcome.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
And take care.
Take care, yeah. I'll try not to walk into any more doors. Oh, just, I must mention as well, Andy McGeechan's postcards and his display that he's got here. I mean, he's also an active member on the group. Love his work. I've seen his exhibitions at Fargo's, and it's great to see now he's got postcards for sale. So I've just bought some that I'm taking out to a school that we've been working a project on in the Philippines in a few weeks, which is, we've got a lot, they've created a library, well, we've created a library for them, which is going to be called the Coventry Corner Library. So we've set up a link right across the world, and I've bought some of his postcards to take with me.
Love it.
So they can have a little touch of Coventry.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, all the visitors who came to the launch of the Priory Visitor Centre. Next up, we're going to hear from Natasha from the Inspiration Club about what the Priory Visitor Centre means to her and a little bit about the last couple of weeks while she's been involved with the organisation. I am with Natasha from the Inspiration Club. Hey, how
are
you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. So, I believe you've been involved in the project quite a bit in the last 2 weeks, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So Carol Donnelly is my mother, and she's been running this project for the last couple of years, and I've come in the final couple of weeks really to just help be a volunteer, get the place open and really help support it, really.
Nice. And I believe you're running an event next week as part of Motorfest here, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we run an event called the Inspiration Club, and we decided to hold that next Friday as part of Motorfest. Fest 7 till 9.
Cool. So for the people who don't know what Inspiration Club is, tell us about it.
Inspiration Club is just a great environment where we have guest speakers and we do some mindset exercises, and it's just a place to actually come and feel good and actually learn a little bit about personal development, but mainly just to listen to some amazing stories from amazing people.
Yeah, and you've got an amazing story as well.
Yes, I have got an amazing story. Just to let you in, because it's Motorfest, I'll just talk through the event. It's going to be a road to happiness, and basically I had a nasty car accident, but actually just telling people my story and how I managed to keep my mindset happy during such a tragic event.
I think that's a message that most people will want to hear.
Yeah, exactly.
They definitely would want to hear. Now, if they wanted to find out more information about the Inspiration Club,
yes,
and about the Priory Medical Visitor Centre, not medical centre, visitor centre, how would they?
If you actually go on inspirationclub.org.uk, you can find out about the Inspiration Club there. Yeah. And we've actually got a Facebook group for the Priory Visitor Centre. So follow us on Facebook. We've also got the Inspiration Club on there, which we'll share. Follow us on Twitter. We've got Inspiration Cov. So it's Inspire Cov. That's our Inspiration Club. And we'll be sharing events about the Inspiration Club and everything else that we're doing here at the Priory Visitor Centre.
Brilliant. Cheers for your time.
No problem.
Mira Fritter is a local legend in Coventry. She's helped many businesses, entrepreneurs, community projects alike, and she is amazing. I caught up with her. I was actually lucky enough to catch up with her. That's how inspirational she is. I was so lucky to catch up with her at the launch. I am joined by a very inspirational lady today. Would you mind just introducing yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm Meru Fitter. I'm Kenya born, and I worked for Coventry City Council for 23 years. And I also was a member of Coventry Multi-Faith Forum. So coming here means coming home. We used to meet here every month. And this is an absolutely great central place, which has brought together people from different faiths, and that is wonderful. And I'm also the secretary of a festival called Positive Images Festival. Now that is a festival that celebrates diversity, enables communities to form partnerships and work together. We also provide volunteering experience for interested individuals.
Brilliant.
And And most importantly, we showcase local talent. And I need to stress, we don't import talent from outside because Coventry is awash with talent.
Brilliant. That's good to hear. Good to hear. I'm just mixed. Obviously, it's the reopening of it today. Great atmosphere. Absolutely. The organisers have pulled it out. They've done a great job.
And I think we have to give a lot of credit to Carol Donnelly and her team, because, as you know, this is a monumental undertaking.
Yeah.
And I think she's worked exceptionally hard, she and her team, and I wish her every success. I'd like to see this place flourish and grow from strength to strength.
I think with them at the helm, it's going to keep on growing and growing. If people want to find out more about what you do, how could they?
Right. I actually am the secretary of Positive Images Festival, and our first event starts on the 3rd of June with a Poetry from the Stage event at the Albany Theatre.
Brilliant.
And it's going to be wonderful because we've got local, regional and national poets, and we've also got some dance performances. So it's going to be an enjoyable family event. And what's the best thing about it? It's free.
Wow, so it's free. It's Do people free. Need to book tickets online?
No, they can just turn up. And if they feel that they want to pay something at the end, they can pay whatever they want.
Lovely. And what time does that start?
There are afternoon workshops and storytelling.
Oh, okay.
But the main poetry event starts at 7 and ends at 10.
Wow. Well, thank
it's an event not to be missed.
No, sounds absolutely amazing. We'll definitely post links to how people can find out more from that.
Now, there's also an official launch of our festival.
Okay.
And that'll be done by Prue Poretta and by the Lord Mayor of Coventry. And that'll happen on the 10th of June on a Saturday in Smithford Way at noon.
Wow. So lots going on.
There is.
You're a busy, busy person.
Yes, I am.
I love it. Well, take care and have a good day.
Okay.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Now, the next guest is an absolute firestorm of energy. She is Carol, who is the main person who is driving this project from the start. She's just massively inspirational. I'm not going to say anything more. Let's hear a few words from Carol. As you might have heard throughout this podcast, one name keeps cropping up. Carol, 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 inspiration, inspiration, inspiration. And I'm joined now with the lovely Carol. How are you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling exhausted but elated that it's gone really well.
Good. How's the journey up to this point? How's it been?
Frustrating. I feel like I've gone through labour. I feel like I've given birth to something with a very heavy birth. And that's what it feels like. It feels like you go through the joy and then some of the upset that goes with it, some of the frustration of bureaucracy. And I think what really worked is when I set myself a deadline, I invited key people, got it into their diary, so it became non-movable. And I think that was the key for it. But what I've actually done, it's just celebrated the success of the journey. My task now over the next few months is to write the story, because this isn't my first foray into, you know, trying to open a building. I tried it previously to save a bakery and I learned a lot of lessons from that. And what I've done is managed to implement that into the social enterprise that we've got here at the Coventry Priory.
Lovely. And it is a stunning location, stunning building. The Endercroft is absolutely amazing. And you've got fantastic meeting rooms. It is literally the start.
Yes.
It is the start.
It is the start. You know, you think all the work, the hard work for the last 9 months has been putting this together, getting the legal documents, the insurance, negotiating the lease. You think that's the difficult part. But actually, as my boss at Coventry University Social Enterprise, Keith Jeffries, said to me on Thursday night when we had the VIP event, he said, actually, the hard work starts now, Carol. You know, you think it's been difficult up until now. You wait till the volunteers don't turn up. You wait till you're opening and locking it, you know, all the time. But we're hoping that because of the expertise that we've learnt, mm-hmm. we've got all our policies and procedures in place. We've got yeah. those. We've had that time to develop it. Mm. So I'm hoping it will go fairly smoothly. Yeah. But I feel like I'm the luckiest person in Coventry at the moment. And I kept telling everybody, I think I'm just going to move in because I've been living here for the last 2 weeks. And I think I might as well just move in because yeah. it is the best location in Coventry.
It is.
When you look out the window upstairs, when you look out the window upstairs, what you've got is that you're looking at Holy Trinity Church,
yep.
and you're moving forwards, and you've got the cathedral there, you've got the Peace Gardens outside, and you've got the lovely waterfall. Mm. It is a superb location.
Yep. It's a hidden gem.
Absolutely hidden gem. And what we need from the City Council is that we need it to be an unhidden gem. We yes. need some signage.
Yeah.
You know, we need to say Coventry Priory Place is here, it's open for business, and we need those signs. So there's lots that we've got to do still, but the first foot on the ladder was having all the people come and support us.
True.
Today is the official opening, and Thursday when I needed the money off some of the businesses and the local authority.
Makes sense. And you've got a great team here as well.
Yes.
With Alan, he's an absolute
yes.
energetic fireball.
He is, yeah. Alan and I worked together in social housing for the past 25 years. We've both come from a social housing background.
Oh, okay.
So when I saw on Facebook, he kept popping up on Facebook, so the power of social media. Mm. He kept popping up on my timeline, and so I asked him, are you doing anything? Fancy a coffee? We went for a coffee. He bought the coffee because I'm a social entrepreneur. I never pay for anything. I always try and get something for free first. And I shared my vision of what the Priory will be, you yeah. know, for the citizens and the visitors to Coventry.
Yeah.
And within a few minutes, he said, I'm in. And that was what it was. So Alan has been an absolute gem for me. He's been a God star. My daughter, thankfully, she's in the country.
Yeah.
And for the last 2 weeks, because she's in between work, she has been here all the time. Mm-hmm. And she's very good. She keeps me calm. She is a personal development coach.
Yeah.
And so she's done a lot of personal development on me, teaching me how to breathe and to delegate tasks, because I'm somebody that will try and do everything myself.
You can't do that.
I can't.
No.
And the other one that's been a star at the moment is Pat Heatherton. Mm. You know, she's one of the directors, and she's been here, you know, doing loads of work for us. And I've had my mum down today. I've had my best friend come down from Sunderland.
Aww.
So, you know, we've made it almost a family affair. So yeah. it's been absolutely brilliant.
And actually, do you know what? You kind of get that feeling.
Yes.
It's not a team. It's a family.
It is a
and
family.
That is lovely.
Yeah. And that's what we want to bring alive at the Coventry Priory. Because
yeah.
imagine, this was the place to go in the medieval times. Mm. St. Mary's Cathedral, you know, where you felt at peace, where you could come in, and a Benedictine priory who would envelope you in love. And that's yeah. what we want to do. We want to make it that it's a centre that you want to come to
mm-hmm.
time and time again. Not a boring fuddy-duddy old museum
no.
with people hiding behind desks. We've open planned it. You know, we want that customer service. We were chatting mm-hmm. upstairs about the American customer service in museums.
Yep.
So we're going to bring that alive. So, you know, we bring the whole medieval experience to life, and that's what the team will be doing.
Nice. And just in one kind of sentence, how would you describe where the Priory Visitor Centre is in Coventry?
One sentence. We're in the heart of Coventry,
yeah.
right next to Holy Trinity, round the back of Nando's, and next to Coventry Cathedral and
Perfect.
the International Food Quarter. So if you're looking for some great food,
yeah.
It's just up the steps from Paul Meadow, so if you're coming in by bus,
mm-hmm.
lots of car parking round here.
Yeah.
And don't forget, this isn't just a museum open Thursday to Saturday. If you want to book an event here, if you want your conference, if you want a unique experience, come and talk to us. And the final point I'd love to make is about the Friends of the Priory.
Yes.
Without people coming to support us, and supporting often means money, because we're a social enterprise, we're a sustainable business,
mm-hmm.
but we still need people to sponsor us. So we're looking for you to come and join us and be a friend of the Priory. We're asking for £1 a week, £52 a year, mm-hmm. or whatever you can give to us. But what you get for that, if you sign up, and the first 100 people to sign up get an exclusive VIP event here with food and music to say thank you. So that's what we're looking for.
Brilliant. And if they wanted to find out more information about friends being becoming friends of Priory, yep, or any more information, how would they on social media,
yep,
websites, that kind of thing?
Right. Social media, we're at Coventry Priory. That's at Twitter and on Facebook.
Yep.
So messages on those. Mm-hmm. You can also message me direct, which is Carol with an E at inspirationclub.org.uk.
Yeah.
And we will have the website up and running very soon, and that's coventrypriory.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time. Take care.
Thank you.
Cheers. Well, time has run out, sadly, for this podcast, but thank you very much for listening. Now, at this point, I want to say thank you very much to everybody who helped bring back to life the Priory Visitor Centre, especially Carol, Natasha and Alan. It's in great hands with Alan, and he's going to do fantastic work going forward. Now, also want to thank all the volunteers who helped before and also during on the day. I want to thank Roger for his guided tours, Paula and his monks to supply entertainment, everybody who supplied live music, Andy for supplying absolutely fantastic photography, Mira for being an absolutely fantastic guest, and also everyone who went to the centre on its opening. Check out the Facebook group, check out the website for more links and more details. Have a great time, everyone. If you've got an event and you want me to come along to make one of these podcasts, all you need to do is let me know. Connect with me, my name's Gary Jones, on LinkedIn or Facebook, or just search Leamington Hour and find my details. I'm more than happy to come to your event, make an asset just like this one for you, and therefore you can use it time and time again.